This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the best basketball party anywhere.
Is it better to be a 72nd best alumni from a great school or the number one alumni by far from a small school?
I'll go with the big school one.
Live from the Stadium Sports Bar at Allen A Sportsbook, George McCoy and Warren Allen Attorneys at Law presents a fan madness edition of Danny and Dusty. Hurt and missing work? Insurance companies acting like jerks? Don't call your mom. Call George McCoy at warrenallen.com. Allen A, make every buzzer beater, bracket buster, and Cinderella run mean more at Allen A Sportsbook. Fan Madness is also brought to you by Video Only, where you always get the best deals on top-rated brands of TVs and home theater, and by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Enjoy responsibly. Fan Madness from Allen A on 1080. The Fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at Allen A Casino and Resort. It is that time, ladies and gentlemen. Let the college basketball begin. Danny Morang here. No Dusty Hera. He is in the great sunshine of Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Jordan Schultz filling in today. Jeff Frost back in the studio, manning the ones and twos. Jordan, it's that time, buddy.
Happy to be here, man. It's crazy that it's finally here. The lead-up is pretty insane because I feel like the play-in games for some reason meant more this year than they have in years past, especially with a blue blood like North Carolina in there. So it's been a pretty fun week so far.
Yeah, you had one blue blood in, you had another blue blood out as Texas talked a whole lot of smack and then didn't back it up in the second half. Xavier moves on in the play-in tournament game, well, at least the one that mattered. We'll dive into everything going on up and down. All of the basketball coverage, but if you're listening right now, you've got some free time, or if you can manufacture some free time, get down here,
please.
There are still a few seats left for the betting lounge chairs. There's a couple spots at the bar, but the early day goings on are already they're popping, man. It's a good time down here. There is quite the line for folks cashing out tickets and banking their tickets as new games are getting underway. Pretty much everything went chalky here in the opening round with the exception of one upset so far. I don't know if you call an 8-9 an upset, but it is an upset.
I already busted my bracket.
So. Yeah, we'll get into those quick, but you can hear the roars of the crowd here.
Oh, you're missing out if you're not here, bro.
Yes, absolutely. And beyond that,
it's crazy.
It's spread madness. That's what you have is games are, again, pretty chalky here out of the gate, but you can feel the flow, the wave, as it will, as spreads are being covered or not covered right out of the gate, and that's always going to make things a little bit more interesting. So if you want to come down here, have a good time. we will be down here. Obviously, we're kicking things off here. Isaac and Suk will be on after us. Tomorrow morning, Dirt and Sprague will get us going bright and early at 6 in the morning. And then me and Will Ortner will be here for our show. And then Isaac and Suk will pack us up before we hand off in the final 20 minutes to Oregon Ducks basketball in their opening round game against Liberty, which the Ducks are, I believe, currently favored by 7.5.
Yeah, it's Liberty Bibberty. We know everything about this program.
Look,
right?
You guys have matched up more than a few times now, but this is an awesome event. I look forward to it every single year. You get down, you can feel the energy, you can feel the flow. Anytime they let us out of the cage and out of the studio, and we get to do on-site events, it's always really cool. Especially cool here, just because of the atmosphere and everything that's going on. And a little reminder, folks, the Stadium Sports Bar has Coors Lights buckets and special Coors Light merch available while supplies last. Coors Light is obviously one of our great sponsors here of the live event here at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill up at Alinea Casino and Resort. There's so much to get into. And just the overall people watching in here, it's unbeatable.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have all walks of life, all sorts of degeneracy, and you have got damn near every team possible on display. We've got Baylor fans. We've got Beaver fans. We've got Duck fans. I saw a guy walking by in a Wofford golf shirt. I mean,
pretty sure I saw a Maryland Terrapins shirt when I came in.
There was a guy head-to-toe Michigan gear. I mean, just suited and booted all the way out. He had the matching Nike SB1 Michigan exclusive colorway. I was like, okay, there's some dedication going on here. There's some diehards. But there's also folks who don't know a damn thing about college basketball that are they're just out here to bet.
Well, that's the great thing about March Madness. And let me just add, I am right at home here in this casino. I love Alinea. The sports book is beautiful. It's got some of the biggest screens around, if not the biggest. And, I mean, short of, like, going to stadium swim out in Vegas, I think I'd be pretty happy here for, like, 8-9 straight hours. And that seems to be what a lot of people are doing out here. So I feel right at home. I'm excited to hit the tables after. This is just the perfect place to be on what is the biggest gambling event of the year, even more than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, when you're talking about the volume and everything that kind of goes with it, it's a big, big deal, man. And you know, we have plenty of locations around us, but none better than this spot right here. The folks here have always taken care of us incredibly well.
Darn tootin'.
Yeah, look, I had the opportunity. They opened the hotel last year, so I got the opportunity to stay here last year during the event, and I was like, oh, this is a nice little spot.
Bougie.
It's a nice little, look, man, you just kind of, it's like this little desert up here that you just kind of like, it just pops up in the trees.
It is not a mirage.
It's a little oasis, because it's kind of funny. You come up the hill now they have the hotel built. It sticks out, you know, above everything else. And as you're kind of coming up the hill, you can see the hotel just slowly start to peak up and pop out here and have a good old time. We got a what looks like a throwback Shaquille O'Neal perhaps jersey. Oh no, we got a Pete Maravich LSU jersey.
Way back, I love that.
And it's the thing, man. You come out here and the fans come out, man. They come from afar to come support their teams. You can get in on the sports book. You can get in on the tables. You can get in on the food. They've got all the restaurants. It's just a grand old time. And look, I'm shilling for them, but it's a good time. We are going to have a bunch of guests today. I believe Dave Bartu is going to hop on with us, and he will give us a handful of picks. He has already texted me some, of which I need to find a long break. Jeff Rust, I need you to make me a long break so I can make it over to the window here and tail old Bartu and have myself a good day. We will have a bunch of folks on tomorrow. I've got guys from No Ceilings, the NBA draft group, to come on and talk about some prospects. Kevin Pelton from ESPN, The Machine, is going to join us tomorrow afternoon. We will also talk about some NBA prospects. We'll have a little look ahead to the guys that will probably be in this tournament next year as the Nike Hoop Summit is headed to Portland in, 2 weeks? Of which we will have, I believe, 5 of the top 11 players in the top class coming in for Team USA.
It's basically an NBA preview.
Yeah, the guys that are going to come through there, it is absolutely loaded. So it's a big-time focus over the next 3 weeks here in the Northwest, particularly as we start gearing up not only for the NBA draft this year and kind of how things are going to shake out in the draft lottery potentially for the Portland Trailblazers, but also what's going to end up happening and shaking out as we get into the next group, the next crop of young absolute studs coming into the world.
Oh, man, it's a weird time because, you know, we're kind of, I don't know, iffy about the Portland Trailblazers and what their future might be, but at the same time, with the Hoop Summit every year, we always know that around this time of the year, we got some really good future talent coming to town to see. And tickets are usually cheap to the Hoop Summit. That's what I love. It's almost like...
Oh, yeah, you can get like $15.
Yeah, it's almost like going to, like, you know, the Futures game for MLB, but on steroids, because you literally know, like, half of this roster for both teams is going to be in the league. So, just a fun time of year. And this is literally, like you said, Danny, the best event, I think, for us. I mean, I know some people would rival and say that, you know, the golf... FanGolf Classic in June might be better, but I don't know. I love A&A. I'm loving it here, and I'm excited, like you said, to hit the
two
tables,
totally
man.
Different events, but FanGolf Classic, that's when I get to cut loose. It's close to home. Wife drops me off in the morning, picks me up at night. I get to have a day where I can basically blank out and try to replicate ending up in a bunker like some other hosts may or may not have done.
It's okay. I can't golf, so you got me way beat.
Hey, it's all right. It's not about going out there to golf. It's about how much fun you have, and boy, do we have fun. And we'll have some more news on that coming up here soon. You know, when we unveil that, it'll be one of those things you're going to want to get in on quick because that thing fills up pretty darn fast. Speaking of filling up fast, people are starting to fill up here, and their lines are starting to get are starting to build up. So if you want to get up here, get up here, get your spot, get buckled in for the day because it's basketball all day. And that's where we're going to start here, is with the basketball. The Portland Trailblazers last night get a big-time win against the Memphis Grizzlies. A first half that they couldn't miss, but my God, if you told me nobody scored in the fourth quarter of that game, I would have believed you. We'll get to that next here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
are indeed live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill at A&A Casino and Resort. It is a grand old time, and we will dive heavy into the college basketball here throughout the entire day. But we're going to start with the home team. Portland Trailblazers last night get their first win in 11 tries against a team over 500. Despite playing better basketball, the better teams have gotten the best of them, whether it was in overtime against the New York Knicks, overtime against the Cleveland Cavaliers, not being able to close out against the Detroit Pistons or the Golden State Warriors. They get it done last night against the Memphis Grizzlies, 115-99, in a game that had a lot of ups and downs and a lot of different flow to it. But where I think you have to start is the play and production of one Denny Avdia last night.
Whew.
Has another monster performance, his second career game and second game this month of 30-plus points, 15-plus rebounds, and 5-plus assists. He finishes the first half with 26 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. He was absolutely unstoppable, as were the Blazers. They dropped 38 points in the first quarter, 33 points in the second quarter, and the Memphis Grizzlies got absolutely smacked in the mouth with a 71-point first half from the Portland Trailblazers.
They shot, I think it was at one point, over 50% from 3 until the second quarter when it started to drop off. But it seemed like, I mean, Duop and Denny, everybody was shooting threes and hitting them, and obviously that's not sustainable, but that's what contributed to such a nice first half. But really, Denny, the whole game, I mean, you talk about a game that was up and down, but still throughout that, even in the third quarter where it looked a little bit bleak for Portland at times, Denny, man, he showed up, and he, I feel like, has proven that Blazers got him for a steal. He is the player, I think, beyond the player that everybody thought he could be. If you look at his season averages, he's pretty much matching the production they had in Washington last season. And everybody was wondering, oh, can Denny repeat that? Was that just a fluke? It's not a fluke, okay? He's a sure starting small forward in the NBA, and the dude can shoot, and he can take it to the hoop really hard. And he almost had a triple-double last night. He fills up the stat sheet on really good nights. So nice to see Denny having the production that he did. That's my wife's new favorite player, by the way, is Denny Avdia.
Well,
so very exciting.
I think he's a lot of people's new favorite player, because there's not a lot of people around the league that are watching Denny Avdia for the Washington Wizards outside of Washington, D.C. And I can tell you, the local media that was there, the fan base that is there in D.C., Denny, they love him. They love him unabashedly, and they know what he can be and what he can do. And on the season now, Denny Avdia averaging 16 points, was it 7 rebounds, 4 assists. He is shooting 47, 36, 78 from the field. And if you throw out that first month of the season, he's basically 17, 7, and 4. And what has been incredible is over his last 10 games, it's 22, 10, and 6 on 50, 47, 83 splits. He has been phenomenal down the stretch for them. Like I mentioned, he has had two monster games this month and really over the last 10 days against the Warriors and then last night against the Grizzlies. We should mention the Grizzlies without John Morant last night.
Yeah.
Talked to a few Grizzlies folks who kind of raised an eyebrow at John Morant having a quote-unquote hamstring injury. Are they trying to maybe bubble wrap him because he's so injury-prone? But the Grizzlies are kind of in a bit of a funk right now. And really, you look around the Western Conference, the standings right now are getting very compressed in a couple different areas.
Yeah.
The Oklahoma City Thunder have a 12.5 game lead on the number 2 Houston Rockets. They're good. And what they did last night was nasty. We talked about it yesterday. They played the 76ers. They sat, I think there was 8 guys on the injury report. And it bears mentioning, the Oklahoma City own the Thunder's, or the 76ers pick, top 6 protected.
Yes.
So they were trying to game the system there, give the 76ers a win, push them a little further up the standings. Couldn't figure that one out, though, because they still dog-walked the 76ers. But you look at teams 2 through 8. They are separated by 5 games. Now, there's really 2 groups. The Rockets, Lakers, Nuggets, Grizzlies are all separated by 2 games, 2 through 5. The Warriors, Clippers, and Timberwolves are separated by a game.
That's
why
insane.
That matters is the Warriors are currently the 6th seed, which means they are in the playoffs and they would avoid the play-in. The Clippers and Timberwolves, both a game back, are 7-8. They are in the play-in. Now, the Grizzlies are only 3 games ahead of that group, and they have been struggling as of late. They are also 2 games back of the Rockets. So you see this compression that is happening in these couple different groups. And then there's another group. There's been compression. The Phoenix Suns have surpassed, because of a tiebreaker, the Dallas Mavericks for the play-in. Last night, the Phoenix Suns pull off a win. The Dallas Mavericks pull a victory out of the jaws, or pull a defeat out of the jaws of victory.
Shocked and
awed. A four-point lead with 40 seconds remaining. The Indiana Pacers go to the free throw line, knock down the free throw, get a steal after the inbounds. An egregious turnover from Max Christie. Bing, bing, bing. Ball bounces around. They hit the three and take the lead. I couldn't believe what I saw, but the machinations around the NBA have manifested as such, with the Trailblazers getting a win against the Grizzlies last night. The math is mathing. The math was not mathing a week ago for the Blazers to make the play-in. It is now mathing.
It's really close.
The Portland Trailblazers, as it sits this morning, are two games out of the play-in. I have said, I personally, if I was running the team, I would rather see them go to the lottery odds,
okay,
get to that probably the eighth pick or eighth best odds, I should say, which would give you a better than a 25% chance at a potential top four pick.
Yeah.
The number one pick odds are very slim at that point in time.
2%, yeah.
Now, when you get up there, you're closer to a 6 or 9.
Okay,
but again,
yeah,
it's still very small. What you're looking at is hopefully getting into the top four of the NBA draft, because the top five is where the goods are in this draft. That's always kind of true. Obviously, there's a drop-off after Cooper Flagg, but after that, it's Dylan Harper. And then it's a group of, you know, Ace Bailey, VJ Edgecombe, Kasparis Yaxionis, and Trey Johnson of Texas, who we'll get to them here in a little bit. They're no longer playing. But the Portland Trailblazers get a win against a team above 500. And now they take on the Denver Nuggets on Friday. Then they've got the Cleveland Cavaliers and Boston Celtics. If they're going to have a chance at the play-in, they need to get one of these three games. They need to get a couple that they're not supposed to get.
Yeah.
They got one of those last night against the Memphis Grizzlies. Even without John Morant, they still have Desmond Bane. They still have Jaren Jackson. They still have Vince Williams. Like, they still have Santi Aldama. They still have a ton of depth. It was a good win for the Portland Trailblazers last night. And coming out of that, it was a very impressive first half. It was a very impressive start to the second, third, and fourth quarters. But my God, 29 combined points in the fourth quarter of that game between the Grizzlies and Blazers. The Grizzlies hit one shot in the first 11 minutes, I think 16 seconds of the fourth quarter. They could not get anything done.
I think the Blazers went on like a 20-4 run, or at some point in third into the fourth. It was pretty insane.
I mean, the level of chippiness and nastiness that kind of came out of that game. This Blazers identity being rooted in defense is becoming real.
Well, you talk about a guy like Temoni Kamara, and then on top of, you know, the praise for Denny Avdija to start this segment, I think the Blazers can officially say they have two of the most undervalued talents in the NBA on both sides of the floor. Is Temoni consistently a scorer? No, but he can get to the hoop, and he's had a couple of highlight dunks in the last week and a half, so people know who Temoni Kamara is now on the offensive end. So, you know, if you're talking about building a team like you have to in Portland, where essentially you depend on draft success and you depend on trades to get this team to where you need it to be, it's something hugely positive for the future that you've got two very undervalued around the NBA guys, where they're just getting paid nothing compared to what the production that they're giving you is per night. Now, when it comes to the Blazers' playoff position, I guess it's nice to see them out of the play-in by two games. I understand that you also don't think that they should be going for this. I don't either. I know that the players, you know, probably it would make them feel a lot better and make them...
It's not a probably. Yeah, it's a real thing.
Make them feel like they have something to accomplish.
Look, Chauncey Billups in the post-game press conference last night, we don't look at the standings. It's the game in front of us, the game in front of us. It's coach speak. It's everything that kind of goes with it.
Yeah,
but it's what he's preaching.
Are.
But no, like, he is preaching that. The game in front of you, the game in front of you. If you win games, if you take care of business, good things will happen.
Exactly. They're doing that to make good things happen, not to tank and get a spot higher in the draft. And that's where I think the problem lies, and the question is worth asking, Danny. What does this plan accomplish for you? If eventually, you know, you've already made a mistake trading Jeremy Grant, you're going to trade him at some point in the next year when his contract's expiring, or two possibly, if you still want to do that with Anthony Simons. how valuable is this play-in to the Blazers? It doesn't seem like they're going to get over the Sacramento Kings. There's 12 games to play, and they would have to beat the Kings in record to lose their pick to the Chicago Bulls. So that's not going to happen, right?
Well, that would be very unlikely. It's a step further than that, because I've seen a few people text this in on the fan text line. Making the play-in would be bad because they would lose their pick. They would not lose their pick by virtue of making the play-in.
No, it's the...
You actually have to make the top eight. So... if the Blazers, let's say they finish 10th, because, I mean, 9th is still even mathematically on the table. It'd be difficult, but either way, they're going to be 9 or 10 if they make it in the play-in, which means they would have to win both play-in games. Okay. So they'd have to beat if they're the 10, they'd be the 9, and then they'd have to play the winner of the other bracket, or that looks to be the loser of the other bracket.
But there is still a small possibility they could lose out on their draft pick, but not guaranteed making the play-in. Okay.
So they would have to actually win two games to get into the actual playoffs to lose that draft pick that is owed to Chicago all the way out until 2027. It is lottery protected until 2027. It is a deal that will seemingly haunt this franchise forever.
I mean, and if they say they give that pick up, you're missing out on a guy like we were just talking with Boss Band Jeff Austin before, like Maxime Reynaud, like from Stanford. There's a guy maybe in the early 20s or lower teens that would be a possibly valuable piece for your team going forward. But if you miss out on that, then what do you do? And do you just, you know, write this play-in off as like, well, experience for the guys and something to build on? This isn't an elite NBA team as it stands. It's a good core, but they need to build, and they won't be able to build if they make this play-in.
So here's the crazy thing about all of this. And again, I'm caveating of this. My belief is that they should steer for that
for sure.
Best possible odds at this point in time. I was doing the math on this last night. For them to make the play-in, they're probably going to have to get to 39 wins.
Yeah.
Okay, they are currently sitting at 31. Okay, now...
their schedule's hard.
It's not as... the Suns have the toughest schedule in the NBA remaining. It is brutal. But think about this. Not even just making the play-in. If I told you this team at the beginning of the season was going to win 39 games... how crazy would that sound to you?
I would have been shocked and told you need to go have a beer and maybe figure some things out. I have been unbelievably...
I mean, that's bonkers.
No.
And when you take a step back, and again, this is not me trying to polish the turd. It's you would be two games under 500.
Yep.
For a team that was projected to win 21 and a half games, and I thought they would barely squeak over that. I've stood by that. I did not think this team was good, and by God, were they not good to start this season. They were bad. And they came into this season with the intention of being bad. That was a thing that everybody was talking about. We aren't charting wins and losses. We don't, you know, it's about development. Thing is, they've developed.
Yep.
Scoot has developed. Denny's developed. Tua's developed. Shaden's developed. Donovan's developed. I mean, even the veterans have developed. Like, they're a better than a bad team. They are almost a good average team.
Yeah.
And if they finish with that, they will have earned it. And again, I don't think that's necessarily the path that I would go down. But if they get to 39 wins, they will have earned it.
I agree.
And that's such an insane thing to think about coming out of the gate. Just, I cannot wrap my head around that. Like, that whole deal. Everything about that is just kind of crazy when you kind of take a step back. Well, let's pivot to the NCAA tournament because we got some massive, massive news that has a huge implication for the number one overall seed, Duke Blue Devils. Cooper Flagg back? We'll get to that first. Here's the Big Kahuna with Sports Center Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
We are indeed live from the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill here at ALNA Resort and Casino. It is a grand old time. The covering machines are already out. Wisconsin has dispatched Montana, covering a 16.5 point spread. This is going to be a very chalky tournament, I feel. I say that, and then, you know, maybe Alabama State or McNeese State springs a massive upset. Look, Auburn's playing Alabama State. It's still the state of Alabama, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure there's some real hatred there, and that would break a lot of brackets because I know a lot of folks love Auburn, and they have been a monster this year.
I picked Auburn, and Alabama State coming off of that play-in win, anything's possible, right?
Look, that's the beauty of this time of year is the upsets are what make the tournament, the Cinderella stories. But the biggest storyline in college basketball, National Player of the Year, first-team All-American, and now returning to play because he is pain-free. This started to circulate yesterday afternoon. We mentioned it as we were wrapping up the show with Dusty. Cooper Flagg playing for Duke in the opening round after suffering an ankle injury that kept him out of the majority of the ACC tournament. He is expected to be fully healthy against Mount St. Mary's Friday's action.
Woo! I mean, do they really need him? At least for the opening game.
They don't, but he's got that dog in him. The dog in him for 36 is through the roof. I was talking to some NBA executives, some scouts, and some the big-time draft folks over the past 3 days in the lead-up of the tournament, trying to get some intel on folks and, you know, who to watch, how to watch, who, you know, what are some things I should be looking for. And everybody kept telling me, don't be surprised if Cooper Flagg goes game two. Yesterday afternoon, word started to circulate, Cooper Flagg might go game one. Which, if you saw the injury, you're like, that man is out for 3 months.
It looked like a bad roll.
It looked like a bad, bad roll. It's exactly what it was. But instead, he's Gumby. And now he has the opportunity to do something no one has done beyond Anthony Davis, which is win National Player of the Year as a freshman, be the number one overall pick, and lead his team to a national title. Cooper Flagg's play this year has exceeded expectations across the board. Yep. He came in with all the pomp, all the circumstance, all the hype, and he has surpassed it all. He is leading Duke in every counting metric. Points, rebounds, steals, assists, blocks. He is that dude. He is now has the opportunity to be special. Do something that only one other guy has done in Anthony Davis. And it is no longer becoming, is Cooper Flagg the number one overall pick? Where does he sit in the pantheon of number one overall picks in modern day basketball? You are talking about, like, when I talk to executives, basically for the last 20 years.
Yeah.
So take LeBron out of this.
Okay.
The only guys that people are saying that he's not competing with are the aforementioned Anthony Davis and Victor Wembanyama.
I mean, we just had this generational talent in Victor Wembanyama, and you're saying basically 2 years later we're going to have another one.
And generational talent gets tossed around far too often.
But this is not an Anthony, you know, Bennett situation here. This a freaking... You can't call Cooper a sure thing, but you see all the pieces there.
And look, I know I have my fun with my hyperbole, but my draft analysis stuff, I try to stick to stuff as much as I can.
Yeah.
And outside of Victor Wembanyama, over the last 20 years, Anthony Davis is the only player that I have scouted where I have thought, this guy is a no-doubt, surefire all-star with the potential to be all-NBA, to be an all-timer, a quote-unquote generational talent. And forget Duke and for what it means for them. Look, I am so locked in. Like, I want to see him succeed.
Yeah.
He has just got the way he plays the game, I love it. He is a competitor. He is a monster. He will do whatever is necessary to win. And I want everybody to have, like, when he got hurt, I was like, forget this, like, you know, the national title stuff. Like, I was just bummed because he wasn't going to have the opportunity to go out there and play basketball and let everybody see how good he is. When you, like, I've said this before, my favorite thing about the NBA is guys putting it together and figuring it out. Like those first 4 years. And that starts with the opportunity going into the league.
Yeah.
And being robbed of that, I was bummed out for him. I was like, man, this is going to suck. He's not going to get to play. And now is he not only going to get to play, everybody's talking about, like, he's ready to go.
I mean, Duke kind of turned it around. You were kind of looking at questions surrounding that team without him, without Malik Brown. They win the ACC tournament anyways. I think a kid Proctor stepped up during that stretch of games. So you know that they don't need Cooper Flagg. So, yeah, it's kind of not really worth pointing out that, like, Duke could possibly win the tournament without him. But the fact that we get to see him, I think the betting line shifted as soon as they announced that he was pain-free from Auburn being the betting favorite to now Duke being closer to, like, plus 200, plus 270. 75, at least before the tournament started to be the betting favorite. And that was even after we had heard on Sunday the selection committee was already informed that Cooper Flagg was going to be available. We just didn't know when. But yeah, you're right, Danny. It is so cool that we get to see, I mean, potentially a full tournament with Cooper Flagg at the helm, because even though he has the potential to make $10-15+ million coming back to college next season, like, unquestionably, I think this will be the last year we see Cooper, the only year we see him in Duke.
At the top of the next hour, we will dive into some games that have gone final, some games that are getting close. But there is a massive, massive, massive deal in the NBA. Reports are out. The Boston Celtics have broken the North American sports record for a valuation for a team. It is a new era in Boston as the Celtics have been sold. What does that mean for the NBA at large? And what does it mean for the Northwest? We'll get to that next year on Danny Dusty, 1080 The Fan. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are at the Stadium Sports Bar and Grill up at A-Lane, and the madness is madnessing.
Oh, it's fun.
Alabama State to the free throw line with the potential to tie this game up at 32. Misses the front end. 31-32. Auburn right now with just a minute and a half to go in the first half. Auburn has just gone ice cold, and boy howdy, would that break some brackets if this is the game that holds tight.
I just want to say giant middle finger to the 16 or 17 people across the country that picked Alabama State to upset Auburn on their brackets, because it wasn't many.
No, not only that, there's those people out there that try to pick the worst brackets possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, those are the ones that are going to stumble into this right now if this game remains tight.
That's a thing.
Oh, yeah, there's the...
There's a whole Raz event for, like, March Madness brackets. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah, and you have the worst bracket possible, which actually is a lot harder than you think it is, because typically there's so many upsets. But this year, it can get pretty chalky. But let's get to the business of the NBA, because some massive news that will reverberate through the NBA has reportedly gone official. A group led by Bill Chisholm, the managing partner at Symphony Technology Group, has agreed to purchase the Celtics of Boston for a valuation of $6.1 billion.
Where's the Price is Right award horn when they win like $10,000? Like, whoop, whoop! That's what should be going off right now.
I mean, it is absolutely bonkers, but it's not if you've been following along as we've been talking about this really for the past 6 months.
Over $1.2 trillion.
That's about right. So when this stuff first started to circulate when I was in Summer League last year, I talked to a couple different governors, and you know, the valuations, they're like, they'll be at least 4.5 at bare minimum. It'll probably get to 5. And then as I started talking to people throughout the season, they're like, it's going to get to 6, man. It's going to get to 6. And I was sitting there like, $6 billion for an NBA franchise. This breaks the record for North American sports. The Boston Celtics just sold for more than the Washington Commanders.
By $50 million, exactly. It's a crazy number.
An NBA franchise. Now, it's the second most valuable NBA franchise.
Maybe put the Golden State Warriors and the Knicks above
Lakers.
Them. No,
Lakers are the most valuable franchise in the league, and it's.
I read Golden State could be closer to like a $9 or $10 billion valuation because of their recent success.
It also has to do with the arena and everything that goes around it, but there's more of a bubble around that because of lack of consistent performance, we'll put it that way.
But Golden State does have great arena economics as opposed to the Celtics, who do not own theirs. The Bruins do.
Exactly, and that is one of the... There have been a couple different touch points as it pertains to the sale of the Boston Celtics. There were a couple different ownership groups that were rumored, and we'll go with that, to be after the Boston Celtics.
Yeah.
And it became very clear 3 months ago that the Celtics were going to go for $6 billion. There was talk of about $6.5 billion was the highest it was going to get to.
Thanks.
Now, there were multiple groups that were interested. The issue with this, and why, if you kind of follow along the business of sports, there was talk, well, let's say 2 or 3 weeks ago, about one group getting out of it and another group getting in. And part of that back and forth has to do with the new owner of the Celtics is going to have basically a $400 to $500 million luxury tax bill.
Yep.
They're going to be without assets in everybody's contracts. Derek White, Drew Holiday, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kristaps Porzingis. They're all going to be on their new deals. They're going to be the most expensive team in NBA history. You're not going to have all of your picks. You're not going to have assets that are easily tradable under the new guise of the CBA and the second apron. So the Gruspecs are sitting there going, the current ownership group, the Gruspec family, they want to get one more title out of this and then wipe their hands of it and be out of it because it's getting too expensive for them.
Well, and they're I was just going to say there's an interesting point, too, that Gruspec's going to be allowed to keep control of the team or at least be the governor of the team until, what, 27, 28?
Yep.
And then Chisholm, the new supposedly encyclopedic knowledge of a fan of the Boston Celtics, leader of this equity firm, will then take over.
And that's the thing is that they want to be able to cash out because they...
Smart move.
Because here's the thing. The new ownership group is going to go, no. You're not going to have all the championship equity, reap all the championship benefits, all the stuff that comes with it, and not have to pay those luxury tax bills. You're going to foot that bill. You're going to deal with it. If we're going to take over this franchise, we're not going to take over it as it's at the very peak and then not get anything out of it. So you want the championship equity? You foot the bill for the next couple of years.
Well, and how much did they buy the initial organization for? Right around $320 million.
$360 million in 2002.
I mean, that's insane to think that over a 20-year period, it's essentially gone up 200,000% or 2,000, whatever the number is. Yeah. I can't put my decimal in the correct spot at this point. But the amount of money that they're now told that they can cash out with, and as you say, comparable to an NFL franchise, not another NBA franchise, but we're setting the record now for an NBA franchise, comparing them to the league that makes the most money out of anybody. Now, of course, the NBA just signed that $76 billion TV deal, so it makes a difference. But I do think that this was a good point for the current Celtics owners to cash out. We're probably going to see a lot more NBA teams doing so. Of course, we've heard about, you know, the rumors whenever Jody Allen, she has to sell the Portland Trail Blazers, but the initial purchase price, for instance, of Paul Allen in the late 80s, early 90s was $70 million. They're going to get around $2+ billion for the Portland Trail Blazers. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics kind of start to lead off a cavalcade of teams doing this.
It's going to be very interesting to see what this means league-wide now, because the worst-kept secret in the NBA is expansion, and everybody was waiting to see what the Celtics sold for.
This was the shoe to drop.
And now that this is taken care of, expansion is the next thing on the docket.
Okay.
And Las Vegas and Seattle are sitting there just frothing at the mouth to get this done. And the ownership groups, Fenway Sports Group, is a team that has long been rumored to be vested in the Las Vegas franchise.
Yeah.
The ownership group involved with the Seattle Kraken are a group that is very interested in bringing basketball back to Seattle. These are the dominoes that need to fall in order for the league to expand, to move those two teams into the West, and a team in the Western Conference to move to the East. And very likely in discussions that I have had, and the things that I have heard, is that one of three teams, Minnesota, Memphis, or New Orleans, they are basically going to have a scene out of Batman where they drop a pool stick down in there, break it in half, and the winner gets to go to the East. Because it's not that they want to stay in the West. They're fighting to go to the East.
Exactly.
It's a lot easier
to
be successful in that conference, and it's a lot more viable. And you think about those ownership groups. Memphis is the newer – well, I shouldn't say the newer one now because A-Rod and Lowry have successfully won their arbitration and will take control of the Timberwolves. But there's a little bit of noise around them not having the capital and being a team that is willing to spend at an insane level. We know the New Orleans Pelicans are not going to spend.
Exactly.
The Benson family is not a team that is out there throwing money hand over fist in New Orleans. You move to the East, you can be a bit more successful in the East while being a less expensive franchise. That wouldn't surprise me. I think that's probably a way that it would go.
Yeah.
But Minnesota is so close to those central teams, Chicago, Indiana, like it makes a lot of sense to move Minnesota.
Aren't the Blazers still in the same division with them? That is so stupid. It is 2025.
And that's the other thing is that while divisions don't really matter in basketball anymore,
they don't.
It will cut down on travel significantly for the Portland Trailblazers. They will no longer be an outpost franchise further away from anybody. The closest team to them being the Sacramento Kings. Adding Las Vegas and Seattle adds two more teams, cuts down on travel drastically. You will most certainly see a redrawing of divisions that make more sense so that while divisions don't matter per se, you still have those four division games, and that will cut down on travel drastically because you will probably see Seattle in the same division. You will see Sacramento, and then how they slice up
Las Vegas. So
how they slice up that pie. Does it become the kind of a Pacific Coast Conference again, where Seattle, Portland, Sacramento, Golden State, and then one or both of the LA teams?
I mean, we already did this with the Blazers and the Vancouver Grizzlies and Seattle Supersonics back in the late 90s, so it's probably going to be something like that. I can't quite remember who was all in that division, but you're probably looking at them, maybe the Jazz and maybe the Vegas team, and then you keep Cali kind of closer to going towards like Texas more often because they've got the geographical advantage there. So
it's going to be interesting to kind of see how that gets broken up, and that'll also be factored in when you're talking about which team moves to the East.
Yeah.
So
this
is the first shoe to drop, then expansion, and I know everybody's banging the drum. Sell the team, Jody. Look, if it's going to happen. And it's required to by the will. The timeline is undisclosed. They've already put out a public statement. It could take 15 years to go through it all. If you're looking at that, that's probably a thing that you're talking about, expansion and expansion rights, because what happens with expansion rights is that is not part of BRI or basketball-related income. That is not money that is shared with the players. That is divvied up among the owners. So what this does is this sounds like from initial texts and back and forth with people that I know, expansion rights, just the right to buy a team, could be $5 billion. And if there's two teams, you're talking about anywhere between $10 and $12 billion being immediately dispersed among the other 30 NBA franchises.
$5 billion just to get in. That's the buy-in price to the NBA.
To get in the league.
I mean, I understand that the recent value of the Celtics and then the contract with the ESPN and everybody for and NBC,
and
excuse well, me,
that,
for the recent
that's
TV rights.
Part of it is they're going to make these teams pony up because there's so much money in those TV rights deals, and that's guaranteed money every single year in the TV rights deal. And if they're going to take another chunk of that pie and give that to these teams, they need the upfront money to justify and make this make sense. Otherwise, it is a losing venture for them.
I'm going to be interested to see if there's a peak point or if there's a fall off. Because, I do believe we're going to see a bunch of teams sell. But then at some point, is the get-in price going to be too big? There are only so many billionaires around the world, Danny. What we got, like 1,000, 1,500? I'm sure you could find another that wants an NBA team, but I don't think they all want to make stupid purchases. And like, for instance, the Celtics was reportedly bought by a guy who is from Georgetown, Massachusetts. He owns a private equity firm. He lives in California. It's interesting to see if it's like the actual private equity firm that's handing out the money to buy the team, but then he's going to be running it like it's kind of like his plaything, or if, this is just a purchase for the company. But I'm interested to see at some point if billionaires are going to want to make this purchase, because yes, there's a lot of money in this, but $5 billion, that's a lot of money too.
And that opens the other, weirdness that is out there with, the global investment firms like the Saudi PIF and the groundswell that is a competing basketball league, which maybe we'll talk about today. We'll find a way to talk about it in the coming weeks. But the live golfing of the NBA could be on the horizon. There's a lot of discussion around that. But coming up in hour number two, we will dive into all of the college basketball. We have one literal upset in the sense of a 9 seed upsetting an 8 seed. But we'll dive into the scores, everything we've known so far, and really hit the college basketball, which is what everyone is down here at the Stadium Sportsbook Bar and Grill at A&A Casino and Resort. We'll do that next here on Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.